الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم وكان الله شاكرا عليما. وقال أيضا تعالى في مقام آخر: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. وقال أيضا تعالى في مقام آخر: لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، سلام على خير الأنام وسيدي حبيب إله العالمين محمد بشير نذير هاشمي مكرم أتوف الرؤوف من يسمى بأحمد. صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Respected elders, brothers, sisters on the receivers in the masjid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with his enormous bounties, and they are so many that they are uncountable. Wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. If you start counting the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are uncountable. Out of them, one of the biggest bounties is iman, the deen of Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is rahmatul lil alamin. Apart from these three, there are many other bounties which we have in our lives. If you travel outside United Kingdom, then you will see people in other countries have not those bounties which we have. But we do not appreciate it. We don't show gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not grateful of these bounties. وَإِن تَوُدُّ نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. They are uncountable. Today I want to speak on the bounties of children which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah has all the control to deliver children. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ Zukur. Yuzakkiru wa untha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to give male children and female children. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الزُّكُرُ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. And in some families they have sons and they have daughters. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. And there are so many families in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not either give male children, female children, or neither both of them. He is Alim, he knows everything what he does, and he is Qadir, he has the power of giving the children. So as a father, as a mother, as a parent, it is the responsibility of the parents to appreciate the bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Today we are living in a period where there is a lot of strength of the social media. And this social media is driving our children far, far from Islam. It is not the case of this country, it is the case of every and each country. Because the world is on the tip of the finger. Today I want to share you a letter which we have received from Dr. Adil Khan, who is a clinical Islamic psychologist. He is the one who deals with the youths, with the people who are involved in depression. He says that I write to you today not as a scholar, nor as one who claims to have all the answers. So he's confessing, he's not an alim, he's not a mufti, but he says, I write to you as a Muslim. We just received this letter 2 days ago. A clinical psychologist and someone who has spent years sitting with young Muslims in the depths of their confusion. The youths are confused, whether boy or girl. They are in a state of confusion, pain, and disillusionment. And then he says, I write with a heart that is heavy. Yani mujhe fikr hai. With tears that have not yet dried, and with a sense of urgency that I can no longer ignore. And then he says, I am not an alim, I am not a mufti, I have not spent years studying the intricacies of fiqh, or the depths of tafsir. My training is in the human mind. So his training is regarding the human mind, the human heart, and the psychological wounds that shape how young people see themselves, their faith and their community. And it is from this place, the place of clinical observation and deep concern, that I come to you today. Then he says, for years I have sat across from young Muslims in my practice. He's got a practice. So those who are depressed, young boys and girls, they go to him. And he also says, your madrasa graduates, those who come to madrasa in the masjid, and they complete their course. I sat with them as well. The children you taught to recite the Quran, and I've listened to the silent struggles, the problems they have got. And their quiet drift away from the mosque and from their faith. So they are, he's saying, going away from Islam. They are going away from the masjid. The masjid is now, you will see, is occupied by the old people. But for how many days the old people will stay? 10 years, 20 years? Then who will run the masjid? Who will come in the masjid? So he is saying the young generation is going away from Islam. So I have also witnessed their confusion, their loneliness, their anger. Ye samajhne ki baat hai. Their anger, their quiet drift away from the mosque and from their faith. Because the old people are not treating the young people with love. Then he says, I have come to a painful conclusion that I can no longer remain silent about. So that made me write this letter. He is saying, we are losing our children. Which I just mentioned in the beginning, the children is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us do not even realize it. Maabaap ko pata hi nahi hai ke bachche ja rahe hain Islam se dur. The parents doesn't even notice that their children are going away from Islam. And then he says, recently I wrote a piece titled, My Son Left Islam. He wrote a title, and the content of the title was, My Son Left Islam. And the response was overwhelming. Parents contacted me from across the country, their voices breaking, asking, Dr. Adil, what did we do wrong? Humne kya galti ki? Where did we fail? We are successful, we bought a house, we got a job, we earned some money, we bought a car, but where did we fail? Kahan hum nakam hue? The truth is, their stories were all heartbreakingly similar. Every parent who commented, the story was same. And the root of the problem, as a psychologist, have come to understand it through my clinical work, is not that our young people are rejecting Allah. Yani wo Allah ko reject nahi kar rahe hain. It is that they are rejecting us. The young people are rejecting us, the young boys and the girls. Are rejecting us, rejecting the parents. They are rejecting a version of Islam that has been presented to them through fear, contradiction, judgment, and emotional coldness. This letter is not written in anger or arrogance. Now he's saying, I'm not writing you this letter because I'm angry. It is written with care, responsibility, and a desperate hope that by sharing what I have observed, I might provoke the kind of deep reflection that leads to real change. Hopefully I am sending this letter, people will think about it, and we will all come to a conclusion where we can change how we deal with our children. I'm not standing outside the mosque as a detached observer. I'm standing within it. So I'm a member of a mosque. As a Muslim who fears that we are failing the very generation we are meant to guide. So this generation, the boys and the girls, we have to prepare them. But we are failing. He says, I do not come with solution. I've got no solution because I am a psychiatrist. Psychologist. I come with an urgent plea, wake up. He's telling all of us, wake up. Akolo. Wake up where the children are going. Look deeply. And then with the wisdom that Allah has given you, find the answers that I as a psychologist cannot provide. I've got no answer because I'm a psychologist. The question we are avoiding, the first thing he's mentioning, what are we avoiding? Number one, let me begin with a painful reality from my own experience. Now he's telling his own experience. Approximately my local mosque in London has been operating for approximately 8 years. And we are operating more than 30 years. 8 years. During this time, an average of 500 children have attended its madrasa program each year. Over 8 years, that is nearly 4,000 children. How many children? If you see at Nurul Islam, maybe more than 10,000 children in the whole period. Approximately 200 children graduate each year after completing their studies. They spend 2 or 3 years attending classes 5 days a week, learning Quranic recitation regularly as young adults. In Tajweed and in Hifz class. And yet after speaking with the Imam and observing attendance patterns over time. So he contacted the Imam and he asked him, all those 4,000 children came to madrasa, how many comes to the mosque? So in my time here, more than 7,000-8,000 children have been through this system. So if I observe how many boys and girls are coming to the masjid, if you will ask me, then what will be the answer? He is saying, the Imam said, I can count on one hand the number of these graduates who continue to attend the mosque regularly as young adults. Yani jo bachche Quran sikhne ke liye masjid mein aaye, madrasa ke andar aaye, to ungliyon ke upar main gin sakta hoon, 10, 12, 15, 20. 20 bachche aate hai, 50 bachche aate. And that is the situation here as well, in every mosque. So this is something to think. Where are our children going? Let that sink in. Thousands of children pass through the doors of a mosque. They spend thousands of hours within its wall. If they come for 5-6 years to madrasa, they're passing through the door and they see the mosque. And they're spending thousands of hours in 5 years. They memorize the words of Allah, and then when their formal education ended, they did not come to the mosque. I saw a boy one day near Tesco and I met him after 20 years. He used to come to our madrasa. After he finished madrasa, I have never seen him in the masjid. And he's living locally. So Dr. Adil is saying that this is not an isolated case. Ye ek jagah ka case nahi hai. It's not only for one masjid. This case is everywhere. It is a pattern I have observed across multiple communities in the United Kingdom. Studies now reveal, now listen to this, this is dangerous. Studies now reveal that more than 60% of the Muslim youth growing up in Europe and America have formally distanced themselves from Islam. How many? 60%. A report from the UK reveals that only 30% of Muslim youth aged 18 to 29 years consider prayer as important amal of deen. Out of 100 boys, only 30 boys, they understand that Salat is first. Although we have taught them in madrasa everything. Because remember, when they grow up, after GCSE and A levels, they go into college and university. And that is where the fitness starts. That is where the confusion starts. So he says, I must ask you brothers with the utmost respect and genuine concerns. He's asking a question. What are we actually teaching our children? Hum bachchon ko kya sikhate hain? What are we teaching them? We are not producing practicing Muslims. It's a long letter, so I have to cut short as well. Time doesn't allow me. We are producing children who can recite Arabic. Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But who do not understand the Arabic language. That is the case. Even the elders, they don't understand the Arabic. But they have never made an effort to learn the Arabic language. But the children, after finishing the madrasa, have no desire to continue their Islamic journey. And parents also, they think, oh, Quran pura ho gaya, chalo, pakka Musliman ban gaya. He's a very powerful Muslim because he can read the Quran. And Nasara can read Quran. During this journey, I met a German engineer. He was in the same hotel where I was living. So it was very hot. I used to go in the swimming pool. He used to be there as well. Then I had good conversation with him. I was giving him dawat every day. He used to sit with me. So he says, I am an engineer for a big company. And he goes all over the world, in every country. So he knows 15 languages. And he told me, I know Arabic language as well, because I go to engineer the big, big plants in Qatar, in Doha, Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia, in the Arab countries. So it's part of my job that I must know different languages, because I have to communication with people who are local. The people I will train are people from that country. And he knew fluent Arabic. Fluent Arabic. We are producing children who can recite Arabic without understanding it. who can perform the physical movements of salah without feeling its spiritual weight. When you are reading Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you are doing it physically. We are doing it physically. But the spiritual weight is not coming in our body. And that will only come if we know the language. This is not success. For a Muslim or an institution, this is not success. This is a crisis dressed in the language of achievement. Language of achievement, oh my son has completed the Quran. I have achieved. No, you haven't achieved anything. Now he's saying the tragic reality of Muslim household. What is the environment in our house? We are Muslims. We cannot understand why our young people are leaving Islam unless we are honest about what is happening inside our homes. Number one, the contradiction between words and actions. Dad is saying something to the son, but dad himself is not doing it. Mom is saying something to the daughter. Mom is not doing it. And consider this painful reality that I have observed time and time again in my clinical practice. In the surgery, when people who are boys and girls who are depressed, when they come in my surgery, then this is what I have noticed. Parents encourage their children to pray 5 times a day, while the parent himself is engaged in gossip, lying, unethical behavior themselves. They don't read salat. Baap namaz nahi padta hai. And he's telling his son to do salat. Ma namaz nahi padti hai. Mom doesn't do salat. And she's saying to the daughter, go and read salat. Number two, they command modesty for their children while they themselves are busy watching indecent dramas and films on the TV. माँ कहती है लड़की को हया रख शर्म रख लेकिन खुद वो नंगे ड्रामा देख रही है. They preach honesty. They tell the children, be honest, don't lie. But while earning, the father, he earns haram income to run the household. The father is lying. He's doing things to earn the money which is haram. And in the house, he's telling the children, be honest. The parents, they speak of love while their homes are filled with anger. You're teaching your children to love someone. Love the family, love Allah, love the Prophet. But the husband, when he enters the house, he's angry on his wife. He's shouting at his wife. Sometimes in cases, people who have come from back home, they beat the wives. Is this love? They speak rudeness, and when they speak with the children, they are full of harshness in them. Talk to your children with love. Become the friend of your child. They tell their children to respect others while belittling other sects, culture or nations. We tell our children to respect. But we don't respect the other communities. So what lesson they will learn? Now what happens in the mind of the child? He's a psychologist, so he's saying what happens? He's an expert in the brain. Right? So he's saying what happens in the mind of the child who witnesses this double standard from childhood. Jab se 5 saal ka hua tha, since 5 years old, the child is looking at all this until he becomes 25 years old. The father is saying something, doing something. Mother is saying something, doing something. They experience what psychologists call cognitive dissonance, a mental conflict that arises when there is a contradiction between what is preached and what is practiced. Now this we cannot understand. It's a term the psychologists they use. So the child is confused now. My father is saying read 5 times Salat. He is not reading. The mother is saying put hijab on, and she is not covering herself when she is going out. The child then starts thinking, if this is what religion is, then it's all a facade. If this is the name of the religion, it's fake. Father is saying something, doing something. So it's a fake religion. So that's the confusion which starts in the brain of the young boys and girls. If the religion is true, why don't my parents follow it? That is the question in the child's mind. If really Islam is true, why my father is not following it? Why my mother is not following it? If they are going to heaven, why should I adopt such a religion? So the contradiction turns children into either hypocrites or rebels. So now our young generation, they start becoming hypocrites. Munafiq ban rahe hain. 60% ho gaye hain. And then not only munafiq or hypocrite, but rebels. Emotional distance and the absence of love, that is the biggest thing. There is no love between the parents and the children. No love. Ye jo love hai, dikhawa hai. Expectation, he becomes an engineer, when he will get money, I will get something. In many homes, the father is a fear-inducing religious figure. Because father is old, he is coming to the masjid, so he is a figure. So children, they fear with the father. Silent, strict, and oblivious to children's emotions. 80% of the young people say their parents label them as rebellious or weak in faith. Maulana sahab, why should I come from Salat in the masjid? My father is not doing it. Do you ever see him in the masjid? Instead of listening to their emotions, doubts and questions, 65% of young people admit that religion is presented in their homes as a system of fear. Unko dar lagta hai bachcho ko, baap ka. Punishment rather than one of love and mercy. What happens when a child grows up associating religion with harshness, fear and punishment? When they gain independence at university or they go for a job abroad, what happens? They free themselves from religion too. And that is what I noticed when I went to India. The young people, it's the same problem. Same problem. The masajid are full with old people. The young people are not in the masjid. And that's the case here. Each household has got 2 sons. If the father is in the masjid, where are those 2 sons? Where are they? Okay, when they are at work is a different matter. But when they are at home, where are they? They are not in the masjid. Muslim youth's rejection of religion is often not about God. Remember this sentence. His writing is not about God, is not about the Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is about their hatred for religious people. So when the youngsters, they enter the masjid, and they haven't got a cap, they got long hair, they're wearing a jeans. So what jo bure log hai wo kya kehte hain? You know, these old people, old generation, what they say, Why is your hair so long? Is that the way to talk to the boy? Why is your hair so long? What were you? Where were you for the prayer today? You did not come in Zuhr. Where were you? Is that the way to ask him? Number three, you seem irreligious. I think you are not following the religion. Jaise hum kehte hain na bedin. And then sometimes you see a youngster, he hasn't got a beard. Why don't you have a beard? Is there a question to ask? If you see to the girl, she hasn't put the hijab properly, why isn't your hijab properly? And then at the end, what we say? We come to the conclusion, you are not a good Muslim. Who are you to judge? He is not a good Muslim. So this is a principle of human psychology. Young people are the greatest seekers of belonging in this era. If religion only gives them message, you are wrong. While the West or liberal circles tell them, you are fine as you are. You can keep long hair. You can wear a jeans. So now what will happen? They will go away from Islam. And where they will enter? In the Western culture. Inshallah we'll continue. There is no time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage to protect our children. As you have just seen the figure, 60% of Muslim boys and girls in America, in Western countries, in Europe, in England, are going away from Islam. And that is my son, my daughter, your daughter. So what we have to do now? We have to change ourselves, show them love, affection, kindly bring them towards Islam. Bring them towards the mosque. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.